Barbarians of Rome, the Germanic People and the Bronze Age, Part 2, Life in the Bronze Age. The typology in the Northern Bronze Age has been fairly well established. Period 1 is characterized by flat and flanged axes, triangular daggers, short-shafted dagger axes, lance heads, armed bands, and neck rings. The ornamentation is linear. In Period 2, the stop ridge axes, socketed axes, the beautifully ornamented hammer axes, swords, daggers, razors, combs, and arm rings, and the earliest form of a safety pin or brooch comes into play. The characteristic ornamentation is spiral. In the period 3 are found the winged axes, brooches, and a wide bow, kettle wagons, half-moon-shaped neck rings, and razors with horse head handles. In period 4, there are winged and socketed axes, razors with a swan's head handle, and spectacle brooches. The decoration is done with concentric circles. In period 5, there are spectacle brooches, socketed axes, needles with a head of concentric circles, and pins with cup-shaped heads, antenna swords, bronze vessels with suspension rings. Some authorities actually add a 6th period to this Bronze Age, and this period belongs partly to the Bronze and partly to the Iron Age. And that's to be expected since the Iron Age, also known as the Hallstatt phase, began in Central Europe long before it played any important role in the North. Period 6 was a time of transition. There were two methods of making bronze artifacts, the closed mold method and the serrée perdue. When the closed mold was used, two halves were prepared, either of metal or clay, each half representing a half of the artifact to be made. These were placed together and molten metal was poured through a small opening. When the metal hardened, the mold would be removed and the polishing began. In the serrée perdue method, a wax model of the desired artifact was first prepared. This was then enclosed in a clay covering with a hole at one end for pouring in of the molten metal, and another to serve as an exit for the wax when it melted. The molten metal was poured in, and when it hardened, the clay covering was removed and the artifact was then polished, after which the process of ornamentation began. House urns and face urns of the area between the Oder and the Vistula may give some idea of the type of storehouse and dwelling in use at the time, although they belong to the transition from the Bronze to the Iron Age. These urns were really burial urns. The ashes of the deceased were placed in one of these vessels. The spirit of the dead was supposed to feel more at home when deposited in something similar to its home when living. Some of the vessels suggest a structure on piles, evidently designed for storage purposes in places where flooding might be expected. At Bunch, not far from Berlin, a village settlement has been excavated. A street runs through the center of the village. Houses are rectangular, detached, and in line, with thatched roof and a large community hall at one end of the village. The clothing worn by Bronze Age men and women was of Germanic North has been reconstructed from the tree trunk burials. The dead were often buried in a large hollowed-out oak log, fully clothed and accompanied by many personal possessions such as weapons, tools, and articles of adornment. The clothing was made of sheep's wool, both natural color and bleached, with a mixture of deer and ox hair. The men wore a garment reaching from the shoulders to the knees, fastened at the neck by a brooch, with a girdle at the waist fastened by a buckle. The girdle was made of leather or linen. Above this was worn a mantle or a cloak, also fastened at the neck or shoulder by a brooch. On the head was a close-fitting felt hat. Shoes were sandal-like in nature and often like military puttees were wound around the ankles and the lower part of the leg. The upper parts of the leg and arms were left bare, evidence of a mild climate. The women wore a close-fitting jacket, high-necked and covering the arms to the elbows, long broad skirt, long enough to cover the ankles, bound at the waist with a long girdle with tassels at the ends, and with a highly ornamented girdle plate at the waist. Examples of skirts of knee length for young women have also been found. The hair was bound in a net at the back of the head. The bronze collar was worn around the neck. Arm rings and arm bands have been found in the graves and various types of small bronze caskets worn by women for keeping small articles for toilet use. To be sure, not everyone could afford the most expensive kind of ornament, but on the other hand, the probability is that amongst the freemen there was no class that could be described as really poor, just as there was no class which was inordinately rich. The simple economy of the Northern Bronze Age did not produce extremes of poverty or of wealth. The climate was beneficent and the harvests were plentiful. There was enough for everyone. At the end of the Older Bronze Age, a change in custom of burial of the dead took place. Up to this time, the inhumations had been the rule, although there were some instances of cremation even during the Neolithic period. The raison d'etre for cremation may have been the conviction that in this way the return of the dead from the grave to haunt the living would be more effectively prevented. But cremation may also have arisen as a result of lighting fires in the grave for the burning of a sacrifice, in the process burning some or all of the body of the deceased. Then again, the change in burial practices may have been brought on by a change in religious belief, a new emphasis on the survival of the spirit rather than the survival of the body. All three factors may have obviously played a role. In a grave mound at Lüneburg Heide, the custom of tree trunk burial was associated with an early stage of cremation. The burned bones of the dead were found stretched out full length. The presence of the original tree trunk containers could be determined by analysis of decayed remnants. The usual procedure in cremation was to place the body on a funeral pyre. The ashes and any unburned bones were then gathered and placed in a funerary urn. This urn was placed in a shallow grave over which a low mound was erected. Sometimes hundreds of these burial urns are found together, constituting a regular burial place. At the end of the Bronze Age, boat graves are found in Gotland. They represent perhaps a primitive belief which the water barrier which the dead had to cross, as in Grecian mythology. The contemporary rock carvings show that the sunboat was a familiar idea. Also possible there may have been a transference of sun worship to burial practice. A purely materialistic explanation would be the desire of individuals to be buried in his favorite boat. Although the description comes from early 8th century, present era in England, there can be little doubt that the description of Beowulf's burial is a survival from a much earlier time. At the time of the composition of the Beowulf, in that form in which it has come down to us, cremation had ceased to be normal practice in England, but Christianity had not yet been accepted in the Scandinavian North, and many older burial customs were still practiced. Although advanced methods of agriculture during the Neolithic period are more or less doubtful, it is quite certain that the people of the North were acquainted with the ox-drawn plow in the Bronze Age. There are many illustrations of plows on rock carvings found in southern Sweden. As far as it is known, the ripened grain still had to be harvested with the old-fashioned sickle of Neolithic times. Nothing certain is known about the method of threshing, except by comparison with what is known conditions elsewhere in early historical times. Presumably, the grain was trampled out and beaten out with sticks and flails on the threshing floor, and the chaff winnowed out by the wind. Methods described in many passages preserved in the Old Testament. The grain, however, was made into flour by hand mills. Such devices date back also to Neolithic times. Primitive water transportation by dugout canoes has been greatly improved during the Neolithic period. There was considerable amount of evidence of maritime communication between the Mediterranean and Western and Northern Europe during the Neolithic period. If the corded ware culture of southern Sweden is to be derived from the Oder or from East German group people, must have crossed the Baltic in boats. There must also have been communication with many islands in the Baltic. The rock carvings offer a definite proof of advance in skill of boat building. It is interesting to note the type of Bronze Age boat appears later in Viking times, although it had undergone some modification. The bronze colt wagons are evidence of knowledge of the principle of the wheel. They also offer proof of the presence of domesticated horses in Northern Europe during the Bronze Age. We may regard the people of Northern Europe and the areas described as a Germanic people. Unfortunately, the practice of cremation has left little physical evidence. There are about 7 fields of remains found in the Schleswig-Holstein and Mecklenburg area, but they were not preserved in very satisfactory condition. Naturally, conclusions that can be drawn from such inadequate samples cannot give a good picture of racial conditions in the Bronze Age. Insofar, however, as conclusions can be reached, the fossil skulls within the range of variation are of Nordic type. A group of 20 skulls from Sweden and Nielsen's 12 from Denmark, both groups showed in general the same characteristics. The arrival in the north of people of the corded ware single grave culture made very little changes in the physical characteristics of the inhabitants, since the bearers of this culture were Nordic, as were those of the megalithic culture in the north. Chemical analysis of the preserved hair of the Bronze Age tree trunk burial show depigmented, that is, blonde hair. Now, next time we'll look at the language issues that come in at this particular time. Now, the sources for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture by Owen, Civilization of the Celts by Luray, and The Civilization of the Steppes by Conrad. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.